Hey guys, it's the Hard Time Strong Man podcast, training up a better class of man. And today, we're coming at you with another entry, pun intended, on non-destructive entry tools.
I hate you.
I know. It's so great. So, we pulled a lot of our resources, a lot of our knowledge from Uncensored Tactical, Sparrow's Lockpicks, Hovert Instruments, ITS Tactical, and
McNally and Lockpicking Lawyer, McNally, both on Instagram and YouTube. Just if you want to feel bad about like how your whole like lockpicking journey is going, go ahead and watch McNally or Lockpicking Lawyer. They'll make you feel bad about it.
Or even better, if you want to feel completely insecure in your home, no matter how many deadbolts or locks you have on your doors, go watch them. And you'll see how fast they can get into your home. It's kind of obscene.
It's such a good way. So good. Also threw in the link for the Williams key, which we'll talk about later. But
so great.
God, so cool. It's high on the list. But intro for the episode. So in the introduction to this series, our entry series, as we're, it's not our covert entry series because we're doing both covert and overt. But intro to the series, we talked about non-destructive entry, destructive entry, some tools that you use in both of those entries, and your initial assessment of the given obstacle, right? Today, we're going to be focusing on the hardware, the tools that you'll use in a non-destructive entry. We will not be deep diving locks. We will not be deep diving the art of lockpicking or bypassing, et cetera, et cetera. That comes later. So focus for today, tools for non-destructive entry. And we'll also touch on the three lines of gear, the, you know, the idea, the concept of lines of gear, and you know, that specifically with a focus on entry tools.
So, talking about non-destructive entry tools. So we're talking about the tools that are used to make entry that are made without damage or destruction to a lock, a mechanism, object, or the surrounding structure that is impeding your access. This class is going to include the tools used for picking and tools used to bypass. The traditional lock picking with traditional lock picks is done with two tools, the tension wrench and the pick. But bypassing does exist.
Tension wrenches. So these apply torque to the plug of a lock. The tension wrench rotates the plug in the direction you would turn a key. The tension on the plug holds the driver pins on the pin terminal lock in place as they are picked past the shear line. We will get into literally such detail when we talk about the actual lock picking. But the way the lock picking works is you're holding tension as you're either individually picking or you're just forcing all of those pins up past the shear line. At that point, the cylinder is free to rotate with the torque from the torque wrench and you open the lock. But tension wrenches, that is their sole job, is to put tension on the plug, right? So you have individual tools that are tension wrenches, and these are normally like in an S shape, so you can, you know, use both sides. A lot of them will have like top of the keyway or bottom of the keyway cuts, different thicknesses. And for a lot more lock picks, you can actually use the handle. It's dual purpose. You can fit the handle into the bottom of the keyway and do your thing.
That leads us to the actual lock picking, or the actual lock picks. Lock picks are tools used to manipulate the lock without the originally intended key. And they are typically the first tools someone visualizes when they think of lock picking. Lock picks are typically small, handheld metal tools. They come in a variety of shapes and sizes for different uses. Common shapes are hooks, rakes, ball or half diamond, Combs, and warded picks.
There are, guys, there are so many. There are so many. And people make custom picks. There are whole lines of it. So Sparrow, Covert Instruments, like all these guys have, you know, their own custom lines of lock picks. You know, typically, you know, the advice is not to go out and buy like the 120, you know, pick set. You know, get just a bare bones basic set. So if that's a hook, rake, and half diamond, you know, with a tension wrench, you're probably good to go, you know, as you're first starting out. But you know, like we said, we'll cover the common shapes and we'll get into the other niche stuff later. But hooks, as the name implies, hooks are mill tools used in lockpicking. They're in the shape of a hook. Different hooks will be either more or less aggressive, and they're typically used for single pin picking. Some can be used for zipping, depending on your, you know, your skill level. But single pin picking, going to each individual pin and pushing those gyro pins up until they break the shear line. So, like I said, a lot of these are going to be either more aggressive or less aggressive with the hook. Some of them will have a different head on the hook. Just depends. Rakes. Oh, sorry, you want to take it?
Sure. Rakes. Raking is a quick and dirty giggity way of hitting all of the key pins really fast. It's my favorite form of picking right now because it's so easy, so quick.
So satisfying.
So satisfying.
It's the most satisfying for me.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm sure once I get better at picking, like, I'll think that single pin picking is, like, you know, more satisfying just because, like, I completely decimated a lock. But just going in there and just abusing a lock and then having it open is so fun.
Yeah. And that's basically what that raking is. It's abusing the crap out of the pins. Rakes are metal tools with bumps, curves, ridges on the face. It allows multiple pins to be manipulated at the same time. Raking involves shoving the rake in and out quickly, giggity, raking the tool against the key pins, and it can be extremely fast. I think when I first started with my set, I raked a master lock and had it open within 7 seconds. And that includes the time it took to put the tension rod in.
Sometimes when I'm raking, I'll open a lock on accident.
Yes.
Like, I'll go to set it and it'll just hit all the pins just right and it'll open. So raking is a randomized attack. Because you are just, because you have to think, it looks like a ridgeline. It looks like a, you know, like a heart monitor, the beep, beep, like all the little bumps. Because it's designed to hit multiple pins at the same time. And you're just going in out and you're just trying to randomize knocking those pins up until they all meet the all exceed the shear line at the same time. At that point, it'll automatically open because you're holding tension with your tension on the whole time. But yeah, very satisfying way to pick. So the ball or half diamond is good for single pin picking or zipping. Zipping is, I saw that with almost essentially just McNally. He's the only person I've seen actually like zip a lock, but
so. He's so good at zipping. It's ridiculous.
I don't even know how to describe it really. Like, he just like inserts the tool all the way to the back and then like with pressure, you know, up on the pins, he just rips it back, makes a zipping sound, and the stupid thing comes open. Like, yeah.
It's essentially raking, but with
less steps.
I mean, yeah, with way less steps.
Yeah. But It's a lock pick with either, you know, the shape of a ball cutout or of a half diamond cutout on it. Gives you a little more surface area when you're actually manipulating the pins. It's a pretty bare bones cut. Combs are cool. Combs are designed to force both the driver pin and the key pin above the shear line. And if you've never seen a comb pick before, it is literally just a, you know, pick, but with different upward. So the same thickness of the actual pick itself, but at, you know, parallel, equal length or links down the, it looks like a comb. I don't know how else to describe it, but they act both as a pick and a tension rod because you're inserting it into the keyway, lifting up and turning. And you can defeat so many locks that way. I've seen a video where they go through like four or five iterations of a master lock up to like the shielded circle, you know, the circular locks, like the big heavy duty ones.
Yep.
Plink, open, done. Yeah, extremely fast. Doesn't technically count as a bypass, but is almost faster than using
the key. Might as well be one. Yeah, it basically is one. That brings us to our warded picks, or the skeleton keys. These are used on warded locks. They're designed to mimic a wide range of warded keys, allowing the pick to pass through the lock channels and manipulate the lock.
So a lot of these are designed where the very end of the pick is just designed to go through a wide range. So you don't have like the cows all the way down the side. So a lot of them, it'll almost look like a T. So it'll be the cow at the very end will be slightly different just so you can bypass all the other crap and, you know, turn the lock.
Yeah. Jigglers are the next tool, and they are used to combine the act of tensioning and picking. They are thin strips of metal with cuts simulating key. They're designed to accommodate multiple locks. And if you've ever used a worn out or worn down key, you've used a jiggler before.
So like my 94 Toyota, my old pickup truck.
Yeah.
I used a key for me and my dad used the key for so long. It just wore out the key to where the, you know, the spacing, the cuts were worn down to almost nothing. It was almost a stub and you had to jiggle up and down and left and right. And then you could finally, you know, turn it over. It's a jiggler. Like that's literally all it is. That's the, you know, that's the same use case. It's the same procedure, everything. It's just, there's designed to meet in the middle of all those tolerances and take advantage of that. And once again, when you get good at it, it can be extremely fast. Pretty cool. Jewelry lock picks. Those are more niche tool, but can be used to open lock boxes, vending machines. You know, anytime that you see the circular lock with the little cut at the top, that's a tubular lock. And you use the tubular lock pick for that. Which leads us to leashy tools. Which, shame on you for not getting better at this faster.
I know. I need to.
But I'm going to buy one. I'm going to put you to shame. But leashy tools.
Please do.
For one, are freaking cool. But they're a combination of a picking, tensioning, and decoding tool all in the same package. If you've ever seen the videos on Instagram, it's the stainless steel thin tool. You stick in the keyway, an arm flips out to the side. That's what you use to tension with. And then there's a smaller rod that you hold on to, and there are annotations on the side of the main body of the key body that will annotate each pin. And you go by pin and you'll feel up for tension. You feel tension, you push it until you break the shear line, and then you go to the next one and the next one and the next one until it opens. It's atrocious.
I need to get better at it. I have the Slage and also the Quickset leashies. So
right. So leashies, so it's the parent type of tool, but they make these tools for all different kinds of keyways. So Slage, Quickset, American Master Lock, there are leash tools for vehicles, for GM, Mazda, BMW, Subaru. So, and I think they run for like 50, 60 bucks a pop, depending on the site that you buy them off of. But
yeah, just about. How about the two pack though? I think those were like 70 bucks.
Right. But that's for the lock type. So being able to hit a wide range of locks is really cool. And outside of picking, being able to decode. So We'll probably do a separate video on, you know, actually like fabricating replacement keys or, you know, whatever. But that's what the decoding is for. So you'll be able to go down pin by pin and say, okay, you know, this pin was at this height, this height, this height. And then you can use something like the, I think it's Cover Instrument calls it their replicant system, where you're actually like casting a spirit key. Unsensor Tactical has one where you buy like just the key blank, so then you can cut the keys yourself for a more, you know, permanent option, but just huge skill set. And that's what Leisha is also good for, is equipping you for that.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their Firestarters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time. They're basically dummy proof.
And to help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. Absolutely. And that brings us into probably one of my favorite form of essentially bypassing picking, bump keys. Watching people use bump keys to get through locks is just hilarious because it's so quick. Bump keys are keys that are designed to engage all the key pins in a pin tumbler lock simultaneously. When a bump key is inserted into the proper keyway, one pin short of full insertion and bumped, the notches in the bump key knock all the key pins simultaneously. That force is transferred to the driver pins, moving them above the shear line, and allows the cylinder to be rotated and the lock opened. It is a skill of timing bumping, but once you learn it, it is very fast. And while bump keys can open different keying combinations in a lock, the bump key must match the keyway for the lock it will be used in. So you can't just keep inserting it into random locks. So, I mean, you
same need thing with the leash pick. It needs to match the it needs to match the keyhole
brand. Yeah, the Slage, Kwikset, Visor, Yale, Master Locks, they all require bump keys.
Yeah. So, like you're saying with the, you know, passing out the force, it's essentially like a Newton's cradle. So when you bump the key with a hammer, a hard object, whatever, the force of those cuts hitting those driver pins, that force has to go somewhere. So
straight up
fraction of a second, the force goes from the bump key to the driver pin. The driver pin knocks those key pins up because those are under spring tension. That's what holds it there, right? Or sorry, the bump key hits the key pins hit the driver pins. And those are under tension. So when those knock up, that fraction of a second is when your, you know, key will rotate. But really cool. Really cool to see. Really cool to see that in slow-mo. That's, yeah. And for the guys that get the knack down for the timing, it is obscenely fast. And same sort of niche, same sort of angle are tryout keys. So tryout keys are literally just keys made by the manufacturer to fit a wide range of locks. I mean, construction equipment, ag equipment, deadbolts, vehicles, utility boxes. So literally on the side of buildings or you know, businesses or like federal buildings where you see the water faucet with the little, you know, keyhole where a faucet should be, you can buy that on Amazon. All the construction equipment that's just parked on the side of the highway, you can buy the keys for those. They're called trout. Like, I wish I was making this up. You can just buy them. Like, they're not, like, you have to think there's however many hundreds of thousands of these units, right? It's not like they're going to have individually keyed units. They're all going to be the same. So, yeah, you get a fanny pack of those, you get keys to the city, dude. They're freaking wild.
Quite literally the keys to the city.
Speaking of.
Or the, yeah. Next are the door gate latch key hooks. Door or gate latch hooks. So Williams key, the multipass are all examples of the door or the gate latch hooks. These are designed to fit between a door or gate and the frame and slide against the angle portion of the latch to manipulate that latch back up into the door or gate, thus freeing the obstacle. It is a simple, quick thing to do, and it's just beautiful. If you think those like protected gates are going to keep you out, nope.
Well, if it doesn't have a deadbolt, it's done.
Yeah, it's done.
Like that's what essentially, you know, boils down to. So I have the multipass. It is literally just a credit card size thin sheet of metal that is shaped like a hook. And I can pass that hook between the door and the door frame over that latch, pull it back, and the door pulls with me. And on the opposite side where you have the, you know, where you have the actual trim of the door, I cut out this little piece of hard plastic that's in the size and shape of a credit card.
A shim.
And that does the same exact thing, but from the other side. Something that you turned me on to, which is bonkers to me, is the Williams key, which was made by a fireman, right? Last name Williams. And it is a lot more in depth. I think it's like I think the base one is like 9 inches long, and they have one that can also, you know, fold in on itself. That's a lot easier to carry or pack away, but that's designed for almost any business or building that, you know, employs those kind of locking mechanisms. So that'll fit over like the, like the Vandal blocking plate. It'll fit over that, so you can still pull it. Like, they're freaking cool. But that, especially if it, like I say, if it doesn't have a deadbolt and it has that angled, you know, internal latch with the door, it'll open.
Yep.
And yeah, super, super cool. Super cool kit.
Yep.
And shims and wedges. So just talked about, you know, the door shim that I just carry in my wallet all the time. But also there are shims for like padlocks that are designed to fit, you know, just down into where that that cutout is on the padlock, and it's quicker than decoding it or bypassing another way. It's literally tink and it comes open.
Yeah.
And for wedges, there's a bunch of really cool options for, you know, like small, like 7 or 9 inch wedges for like doors. You can just kind of get a little bit more purchase in if you're trying to, you know, attack the obstacle that way. You know, if you're trying to attack the latch or whatever, that gives you a little bit more. Inflatable wedges or shims are really cool. So you can get those for vehicles to fit in between the vehicle door and the frame. And then you pump it up like a blood pressure cuff. And non-destructive, it just winds it out so you can fit a shim in for the door latch. Like, a lot of really cool stuff there. You can also use that for attacking like underneath the door. If you're trying to, you know, fit something to hit the latch, you can pop a shim under that, you know, whatever.
The vehicle ones, depending on where you go, can be expensive. However, I have found that you can go to your local Lowe's and get those inflatable bags that they use to essentially raise and lower windows and doors when you're installing them, and they work the exact same, and they actually have probably the same, if not more so, amount of strength, and they're cheap. They're like $15.
It's the same exact thing, dude. Home Depot, Lowe's, Tractor Supply, like,
yep.
You'll find they're very, very ubiquitous.
Yep, pick up a set.
Oh, you know, I already talked about pry bars. I put that in there with shims and wedges.
Yeah, that's all right.
Y'all know where I'm at.
Yeah. So that brings us to the snap gun. Oh my gosh. The snap gun.
Lock pick gun.
It's a tool used to open a pin tumbler lock. Snap guns look like a first generation 3D printed handgun. They work in tandem with a tension rod, kind of like traditional lock picking. The snap gun's needle or blade, kind of like a lock pit, is inserted in the lock. And then with each pull of the trigger, the needle slaps against all the lock pins simultaneously. And the slap transfers energy from the key pins to the driver pins and forces a gap at the shear line, creating an opportunity for the cylinder to rotate, opening the lock. It's a cheat code. And they're
so you have to think low. this is kind of like a bump key, except for you're divvying out the, you know, the picking and the tension. But you have to think every pull of the trigger, because it's just a spring action, is just slapping all the pins over and over and over and over and over, tick 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 tick, until it opens. You know, you're just buying statistics at that point. They're really cool.
Yeah, they're wild, absolutely wild.
And I don't know nearly enough about it to talk intelligently, but
I don't
electronic either. Tools. First thing that comes to my mind is the Flipper Zero.
Oh my god!
So you have to think of, you know, like common access cards or door badges. You know, so like a medical facility where you badge in, badge out of, you know, different areas. That's RFID. That's all that is. And something like the Flipper Zero helps you to clone or mimic, you know, those RFID signals. And Bob's your uncle. You're in. So wish I could tell you about the actual procedure, what all goes into there. I will try to research that best I can when we eventually talk about those in more detail. But they're fun. They exist.
Yeah,
that's what you should get from this class.
Honestly, you should probably just get a Flipper Zero, period. They're not too terribly expensive. So the hardest part is just learning how to use
actually it. You're reasonable, which blew my mind.
Yeah. And the Flipper is crazy, too, because it can function as a decoder for a key. I just saw that the other day.
Which is I did see that. That was really cool. You showed me that.
Oh, so let's get into our lines of gear. This is essentially the same thing as your lines of gear with your tactical stuff, your survival stuff. So your first line is this. What do you mean?
Lines of gear. What is that?
Your lines of gear are just the... it's the stuff that you either carry on your body, you have ready to go on hand, or it's stuff that you just have stashed in your vehicle or caches. You know, it's stuff we're talking like, so in terms of tactical gear, it would be your light fighter rig, it would be your Spiritus, it would be your Mayfly rig. That would be your first line. It's stuff that's carried on your body at all time. You'd be talking about.
So I was just saying, like, broad strokes. So lines of gear, that's just a concept for how you divvy out your kit. So how you compartmentalize stuff. So like you said, first line, that is on your body all the time. When we were in army times, that was in all of our cargo pockets, on our, you know, belts, you know, all that stuff. Second line, that's in your kit. So whether that's a belt rig, whether that's a chest rig, you know, whatever, that all lives there. Third line, that's your prolonged or your sustainment kit. That's your specialized stuff, your bulky stuff, odd shaped stuff. That's in your ruck, in your vehicle, at home, or your base of operations, all that stuff.
Yeah.
As for entry, what does that look like?
So as far as entry goes, with your first line, like you said, the stuff you're going to be carrying on you, your pockets, part of your kit as well. So you'd be looking at probably your credit card size lockpicks, your tension tools, your shims, your hooks, small stuff.
Kind of. What do you carry on you all the time?
What do I carry on me all the time?
What's your first line for entry stuff?
My first line for entry stuff would be my lockpicking set. It's a leather pouch that has my tension tools and my raking and individual lockpicking stuff. I don't have any shims or hooks yet, but you know, it's coming.
Do you actually carry it on you though?
Yeah, dude, it fits in my wallet.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about. My first line is this. Got from UTAC. Great. So that's just tactical. It is a little credit card sized.
Yes.
Not leather, but a little plastic carrier. And I've got pick and rake set with the handles acting as, you know, the tension rods. The. Oh, gosh, what a crap. What do we call this?
The multipass.
Multipass. God, my memory sucks. The multipass. So my little hook and then my little credit card size shim.
Nice.
Which all this is subject to change as needed. But that is, like you said, something that just fits in my wallet. I move some stuff around and that just lives in there. So if I ever have to use it, it's there. Because with first line kit, it's not just an idea. Your first line kit is your first line kit. It is stuff that you have on you all the time, period. If you don't have it, if you don't have a tool on you, you can't use it. So
that is correct. That is 100% correct. That brings us to our second line, which is in your kit. So it'd be in your Life Rider rig, it'd be in your Mayflower, your Spiritus, whatever you use. This could be a pouch. This could be, you know, something on your belt.
A Ziploc bag, you know, in
a Ziploc bag,
you know, whatever.
In a pouch. Yeah, exactly. So examples would be your extra picks, your tubular lock picks, your wedges, your pry bars, your Williams key. You know, I don't have a second line set up currently. I don't have enough tools purchased at this point to have a second line or even a third line. So I got nothing.
I was going to say, I don't have anything at this point, but I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to go in it. So something that I like with my setup is I run the Nixieworks Lightfire rig. So that kind of, you know, merges my second line with my third line because I have the full belt kit, you know, the full belt capability along with the large butt pack. I can kind of fit both of those together, but that's where my more specialized stuff is going to go. So like you said, extra picks, I'm going to have some more, you know, in-depth bigger picks. So something that I really like that I got also from Uncensored Tactical are just larger, you know, picks. They're still credit card size, but they have that kind of bend in them, that rotation in them that's built in. Just gives you a little bit extra. I like the feel of it better. But I might even get some bigger picks just so you can get more leverage, you know, a better feel for different kinds of locks. So Cover Instruments has a bypass tool, which is literally just a small tool with a little dimple or a little hook in it. So you can bypass certain types of locks altogether. Different shims like padlock shims, tubular lock picks. Those, I find those really interesting. I'd have to determine how much I would use that potentially. You know what I mean? I would definitely throw in a Williams key just because, you know, I like my the hook I have right now, but that is so much beefier and it's way more purpose built that I feel like that'd be, you know, kind of stupid not to have, especially with the folding one. It just, it gets so small, you know?
Yeah.
Different wedges, especially the inflatable wedge. I just love that, especially because it can get so stinking small. You know what I mean? Like, those are just awesome. And then, I don't know, like I said, you'd have to you'd have to work through the thought process of how much you would actually potentially use it, but a vehicle entry kit would be really clutch.
Yeah.
Honestly.
A lot of these setups too are going to be MetTC dependent.
Oh, I will tell you something that would absolutely go inside. It's not in my first line just because I don't obviously need it every day, but second line absolutely would be a commercial latch hook. So you can find those on Unsensed Tactile. You can find those on Covert Instruments, but it is a tiny, tiny hook, and it'll either come as two separate tools or one joint tool, but it is designed to fit in between the door and the frame of a commercial. So a commercial door in, I think it's predominantly the United States. But anytime that you see a, you know, like a corporate or a, you know, a business front, that door with the lock that is rectangular, with the normally a circular keyway, you know, and it's just like it's flush, there's nothing else going on, that's a commercial latch. So there's no deadbolt, it's just a really in-depth locking mechanism. And yes, you can pick it, but there's a bypass with the actual mechanism itself that fits right underneath that, you know, that lock portion. And if you fit that hook in there and you pull it over, it pulls the whole mechanism. Jeez. There's a really great video of it on Lockpicking Lawyer's YouTube channel. But you just made like 90% of the businesses in the United States front doors obsolete.
Yeah.
So absolutely, that would go in my second line. I think it's like $20 on UTAC site. Like, it's stupid.
Huh. All
right. Very fun. All right. I feel like I just schizo dumped on you guys really hard. Yeah. But
it's a lot of information.
Miss anything, man? There is so much that we missed. Because I was adding to this up until yesterday. Like, there's just so much to this skill set. But we had to kind of, you know, rein ourselves in a little bit. But did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No. It's kind of daunting, the amount of gear that's involved with it. But at the same time, it's just like, with the amount of gear that you have, you can open, God, I wouldn't even venture to guess and say probably like 70 to 80% of all the locks in America with just the stuff that we just talked about.
I'd say more.
You say more? I was trying to like at least. Yeah, honestly, yeah, it probably would be more. The more I think about it, because just like government locks suck anyway. So you could probably
get to think your base
pretty easy with this stuff.
Well, you have to think that, you know, something that, especially like McNally, Lockpicking Lawyer, all these guys that are really into the lockpicking scene, like they get pissed when they come up to these kinds of locks, because they're like, this has been a known problem. Like, mm-hmm. this has been a problem with this lock for like 50 years, and y'all do the same thing with every iteration, and I'm going to keep beating these locks in like 2 seconds. Like, I watched a video where they were advertising their comb pick, right? And it just worked on, like I said, like 5 or 6 different iterations of Master Lock. Bam, 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 yeah. Bam, bam. And you have to think, so how many brands of locks are there, really?
Not really that many. And everybody.
And then how many iterations?
Everybody else.
Or, and then how many iterations of that? And, you know, how many of them, you know, like you said, are just copying each other? Yeah, you know? So many of these things, it's kind of like the same key, different lock kind of scenario.
Well, you know? That's true.
And your skill level has to do with a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Because if you're just really freaking good at jiggling, you know, using jigglers, I'm sure you could, you know, fudge around with different locks just because you know how the tool works.
And if you really think about it, there's only so many combinations that you could put into a key. until you have to recycle. So there's a good chance that like any of the padlocks that you have, there is several more keys exactly like that in someone else's possession.
So Unsensored Tactical literally sells a bag full of every combination of quit set keys.
So if you've got the time.
So if you can't pick to save your life and you have time and you really need that open, you can go through every single iteration of key until you get there.
Yep.
And that's what kills me. So once you understand how these mechanisms work, how these locks work, it's just a matter of what tools you have available.
Yep.
And you'll get the stupid thing open.
All it takes is tools and time. That's it.
Will. Where there's a will, there's a way.
There's a will, there's a way. And if that doesn't work, get a shotgun. Blow that freaking lock straight off.
I wasn't asking. Guys, we are the Hard Time Strongman podcast, cheering up a bear class man. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.